Hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, what's up, guys? It's Aaron.
And Nicole. This is Dude That's Fucked Up. Oh, good. The bug that was in here finally died in my fucking gin and tonic. Dumb cunt.
Your fly in tonic?
Yeah.
Your gin and fly? I don't know. Oh, whatever.
Right before we started recording, I dropped my Trader Joe's Bambino pizza on my foot.
Oh, those are so fucking good.
I know. And it was like, I had like a quarter of it left and I was trying to eat it taking this class online, but like not letting them see me. But then, I mean, I was clearly eating, trying to get, like, I was like, I got to go, like do this thing. It was 2.5 hours. It shouldn't have been. Anyway, I dropped the pizza right on my foot.
Aww.
And I was pissed.
Pizza foot Mackie.
Well, I made a gin and tonic to make up for it, so.
Good. I mean, yeah. You know, you gotta take the win where you can. Oh, man. We were laughing so hard before we started recording because we were talking so much fucking shit on our so we have this high school reunion.
Oh, my God.
Facebook page.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to say our 20-year high school reunion is coming up. And oh, yeah. Fucking hell, man. We got some straight-up racists in the group. And Nicole and I obviously, like, went a little ham on some of these people. Oh,
I didn't go as ham as I wanted to.
Neither did I. It was very nice, but I...
Oh, Aaron? Okay. Always. I was even telling Pete this in the car earlier. I was like, Aaron is always, like, so thoughtful and, like, puts together, like, hey, God. You know, like, she, like, talks to them like they're humans, which they're not. And and she's just like, hey, like, I understand where you're coming from, blah, blah, blah. So nice. And then I come in here and I'm like, I'm shocked you're not in jail, you fucking twats.
Nicole just comes in hot.
Yeah, they're like, see you at the 20-year reunion. And I'm like, you mean the KKK rally? No thanks, you fucking dumb bitch.
Stupid cunts. Jesus. Like, you guys don't even understand. This got wild.
All day.
Also,
like, we know it's going to be toxic in there. Mm-hmm. It was and is a racist place to go to school and to grow up. And the people that still live up there, I've done some, some rabbit hole kind of snooping on their pages as of late. It is not good. And they are not people I'm friends with or associate with in any way. But just was curious, like, what they had to say, knowing they still live up there. And as I thought, it was all bad. So,
yeah, and we did go to school with some very smart, intelligent, good.
Oh my God,
good,
amazing people, and people that are still learning and open to learning. Like,
yeah, but there's a lot of dum dums up there.
There's some real dum dums. There's some real fucking dum dums.
It's just like any small town in America. Mm-hmm. Like that's how it is. So if you are coming from a small town and you're feeling like I'm never gonna get out of here, or everybody I live around is fucking morons.
Yeah.
We
feel you.
Man, we feel you.
So
we
hard.
We're still dealing with it. Even though, like, that was kind of self-inflicted on our part.
It was fun.
It was fun.
I wrote a poem.
Yeah, you did.
I was just, at first, having so much fun. And then I'm like, this is not helpful. So then I was serious, and then everybody tried to take me down for that. And it's fine.
It really just is a perfect illustration, a great snapshot of exactly the challenges we face trying to help people understand what racism actually is, how it is systemic, how we have grown up in a white supremacist, you know, supported society, and how much of a challenge we have going forward to keep being anti-racist, not just like, I'm not racist, like literally be anti-racist, like root out fucking shit that is heinous and call it out. And I don't know, maybe we need to work on our approaches and
we're not going to change these people's minds.
No, but that's
these are people that are like a lost cause, and you just chalk it up to that and move on, which is why you don't spend that much energy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I did today, but that's enough.
Yeah.
That'll do, pig.
I was
That'll
just going to say that. I was just going to say that. They're off the chart.
Yeah.
And they think they're not. So that's the fucked upness about that.
Yeah. All right. Well,
that's our business and our fucked up. I just want to – that's all.
That's our business. Yeah. Well. All right. Well, this is timely, what we're going to talk about.
Speaking of racists. Yeah. You guys. Have you seen all the statues that have been taken – all the Confederate statues that have been taken down lately?
Oh, my God.
Did you see the one in England?
Is that the one that went into the water?
Yeah.
That was great.
They tore down a statue of, like, some infamous slave trader and threw him in the fucking river.
Yeah. And it was awesome. They
dragged him through the statue through the streets and stuff. It was mm-hmm. so cool.
It was so cool.
Bless.
Ugh.
But yeah, and a lot of other statues all around the country. Like, this is like how you know protests work, is you see immediate change, not just like change, like, yeah. Oh, we're going to introduce a bill. It's like, literally stop dragging your ass. I know you can do this shit tomorrow if you want to. Mm-hmm. And it happened. Like, yeah. they just started, like, Baltimore just like took down like two or three Confederate statues. Like, why the fuck do you have Confederate statues there? Get that shit out of here.
Yeah.
That's what are
why
you doing?
Do we have them anywhere? Jesus Christ.
No, I know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying I understand, like, why there would be statues in the South, because that's where the Confederacy is from.
Oh,
but, like,
100%. Yeah.
You know, what? So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shouldn't have them at all anywhere. And so a lot of these statues are being taken down. I even saw people taking down some Christopher Columbus statues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They beheaded one,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. Why? We don't need – who gives a shit about any of these people anymore? Mm-mm. They're a stain on our society. We don't give a fuck. We can still learn about what they did, but we need to learn, like, the right context of it. And anyone yeah. who's, like, fighting for this stuff, honestly, is like, ugh.
I know. No. I hate it. Yeah, so there is, however, one statue where I think it's been memed pretty hard lately.
Oh my God.
It's going around the internet because it yeah. is so fucking heinous. It is one of the funniest things I have ever seen.
The meme that's been going around is basically like all Confederate statues should be taken down except this one, which single-handedly proves racism. That proves
white supremacy is...
Or it disproves
is,
it.
Is disproves
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
It is so bad. This fucking statue is a statue of this Confederate general, mm-hmm. Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Nathan Bedford Forrest.
No. Is it General Nathan Bedford Forrest?
At your service.
It reminds me of that SNL sketch, the Colonel Angus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Colonel Angus.
It's Colonel Angus.
Oh, it's General Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Florist. Well, this man existed. He was real. But his statue makes him look like he was a... I like... There's some really funny descriptions that people have put out on the internet of this, like... It's like a person sculpted what they thought a human being was supposed to look like, mm-hmm. but failed miserably. Uh-huh. It's like just people have trashed this statue for years.
Yeah, it's not a good statue. And honestly, I'm going to say this once and then move on from it because he doesn't deserve this. But he was not an unattractive man.
No, but this particular this statue
is bad.
It's does not do him any favors.
No. Mm-mm. But you know what? That's how he looked from the inside, I think. True. We could say.
It was like a Dorian. It's a Dorian Gray statue.
Yeah.
This is like
my God.
Full Dorian Gray.
It's just, yeah, it's just situation. Like holding on to all of his ugliness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
but
love that.
Also like the whole ridiculousness too of.
Oh, yeah.
Of everything that happened in the South. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's most upsetting? So we're going to talk about this man for a little bit. But mm-hmm. one of the most upsetting things about this topic as I was reading about him is that there are so many statues of this man all throughout Tennessee.
Oh, and neighboring states. He was real involved in the South. And mm-hmm. there's a bust of him, I think, in a government building in Tennessee.
In the House building in Tennessee.
Oh, okay, yeah. And so the House Committee of Tennessee literally voted on removing it yesterday.
I read that.
And it fucking failed.
Yeah, spoiler alert, they didn't remove it.
Dude, they're like, no, thank you. They were like, oh, I'm sorry. It was like, it was 11-5.
Yeah, so the vote went down. So there was a specific committee that was in charge of like voting on this. Mm-hmm. And there was 11 Republicans and 5 Democrats in this committee. And you can guess which 11 mm-hmm. people, Republicans only, voted for this. And then the five Democrats voted against keeping it in the House. Or again, they voted to remove it, I should say. And also, this is another fun fact about this particular bust that is in the Tennessee House building. It was only installed in 1978. So it's only like 40 years old, like, or 40 something years old. Yeah. It's so stupid. And so every year also they decided on his 100th birthday they were going to like pass a bill saying there had to be every year on his birthday, like they had to recognize him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like they have to like recognize his accomplishments. And it's just it's so awful because we're going to tell you a little bit about this motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
And how mm-hmm. garbage he was.
He has his own day. He has a holiday in Tennessee.
And mind you, so this man was a general for the Confederacy, mm-hmm. And he wasn't that – he didn't just become a general for no reason. Like, he really worked up to it, and he did some things after his terrible career in the, I guess, army, the Confederate army.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just to keep it all in perspective, mm-hmm. there are – many, many black people who live in the South, yeah. Tennessee. There are black people on this House committee that voted for this, and they still did not remove it. So,
oh no.
And this is 2020, by the way, in case you didn't know what year it was.
Oh, my God.
So let's talk a little bit about how horrible this man was.
Oh my God. Okay. This, I want to say too, right before, I just want to kind of like underline this man's legacy, and also like his legacy matches the statue we're talking about, and mm-hmm. it is so horrible. So there was just like a fun quote from Atlas Obscura, which had this to say about the statue. General Nathan Bedford Forrest is a rare example of a Confederate monument that, rather than being sculpted with dignity and grace, accurately reflects the ugliness of its subject. However, this was not the intent of sculptor Jack Kershaw, who is primarily known for defending the assassin of Martin Luther King Jr., when he put it up in plain view of Tennessee's Highway I-65. So, it is horrifying. It's made by a horrifying man. But we're going to talk about Nathan Bedford Forrest first.
Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Like Aaron said, he was a Confederate Army general during the Civil War. And he's lauded as like a great cavalry leader and a great like war strategist, I guess, by some historians. But then other historians are definitely like, okay, but wasn't he also the leader of the Ku Klux Klan at some point? And yes, he was.
Oh.
The plot thickens.
Many strikes immediately against this trash-ass man.
Wasn't he a human garbage fire? Thank you for bringing up that point. Yes, he was.
Oh, so should we just make a million statues of him?
Yeah, let's put him everywhere, especially where black people are, because that's a fun reminder.
God.
Okay, so he was born July 13th in 1821 to a poor settler family in Tennessee. He was a twin, and fun fact, it was a girl. Like, he was a dude twin, and she was a lady twin, and her name was Fanny.
I did not know Fanny meant pussy in the UK for a very long time, like until I was like an adult. So
it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like maybe the most fun detail you'll get out of this entire thing, because he's just awful from here on out.
Yep.
I don't think his dad was a blacksmith.
That's like a respectable trade.
Yeah. Oh my God, so respectable. But he wanted to be, I guess, like more fancy. I don't know. He wanted more, I guess. So he went into business with his uncle, which was the business of plantation owning and slave trading in Mississippi.
Ugh.
And he learned, and I think really got off on violence very early on, because his uncle was killed by the Matlock brothers. Don't know who they are. Don't care. And he, in retaliation, shot and killed two of them and stabbed some others.
Oh.
Like, yeah. It was, he, basically, his uncle was shot, and then he went back and, like, sought revenge.
Wow.
Yeah. And he learned a lot from his uncle, or enough, at least, to establish a successful business of slave trading in both Mississippi and Tennessee. He became so successful that in 1850s, he claimed that his wealth was worth $1.5 million at the time.
He's like the fucking Civil War Jeff Bezos or something.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say Steve Jobs, but that's not right. Yeah, he's definitely the Jeff Bezos of slave trading.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give him the credit of Steve Jobs, because he didn't invent anything. He didn't make anything cool. He just, like, is profiting off of, like, you know, other people,
other people's labor.
Human capital.
Yeah, totally. And treating them like shit.
Yeah.
And that, so $1.5 million at the time, that's like the equivalent of over $46 million today.
Good God.
Jesus. Like, that was a lot of money there then, $1.5 million. It's a lot of money now.
Yeah. So much money.
And by the start of the Civil War in 1861, he was one of the richest men in the South, and he owned over 3,000 acres of land and multiple plantations. So he was, like, doing things to, like, be quote-unquote successful. And then at some point he moved to Tennessee and he established his slave trade in Memphis. And then around the same time, he was also elected as an alderman, which is just like a complicated, weird way of saying councilman.
Yeah.
It was just like old-timey language.
Yeah.
Enter the Civil War.
So once the Civil War started, he stopped doing his slave trading business.
Yeah.
And he enlisted immediately to join the Confederate Army. And he quickly worked his way up the ranks, I guess, like, because he killed a lot of Union soldiers, black men.
Yeah.
And they were like, yes, promotion. You killed more black people today, so good job. Like, I don't know that there was any, like, you know, real military strategy that was, like, profound or something that they were, like, psyched about. It was just, like, he was really good at killing people.
They were basically – I think the South's strategy, or, like, his strategy specifically, but it was, like, generally adopted throughout the South, was, like, if you – they played dirty, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, if you have a gun, and especially if you're black, I'm just going to kill you. Like, it wasn't like they weren't playing by the rules of war.
Yeah. And I see when I read about him, I see people like trying to defend him a lot by saying like he had people fighting for him, like Mexicans and, you know, black people fought on the side of the Confederacy. And it's like, well – yeah, because they were terrorized into doing it. If they didn't, then they would just immediately be killed by the Confederate soldiers. So
are those people in our Facebook group?
Probably.
Are those people in our high school reunion Facebook group? And they must not understand how slavery works.
I am telling you, they were like, they're like his like battalion was multicultural. Like, it's just like, oh my God, what the fuck are you talking about? People are like, ugh.
But I don't see color.
Literally, man, I'm telling you. So,
oh my God.
So he was creating a reputation for being very effective, aka violent and murderous. He would be best known for during the Civil War for the Fort Pillow Massacre. That's hard to say.
The Port Pillow.
The Fort Pillow Massacre. I love a good pillow fort. This is ruining it for me.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Right? Oh, well, this is going to ruin pillow forts for you guys.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was not a good sitch.
Not a good sitch. So basically what happened was his men attacked and held up Fort Pillow, but they're quickly being killed off. So he rode up in there on his high horse.
Literally.
Didn't. And then he fell off when his horse was shot out from under him.
Yeah. And then it happened again.
And then he got up on another fucking horse. He found another horse. He's like, oh, no. His, like, poor horse got shot. And then he, like, grabs another horse from somewhere, gets on that horse, and then that one gets shot. And then he stuck the landing on this third horse. Third time's a charm, guys.
Third time's a charm. I just, like, love picturing this fucking fuddy-duddy going into the battle this day. And just, like, he can't keep on a horse.
Like, he's like a Yosemite Sam just, like, shooting. And just, like,
shooting and rooting and tooting.
Oh, my God. He gets on a third horse. And then he gets on his third horse just in time to realize that the Union troops were not going to be able to hold the fort. So he pushed them to surrender. Mm-hmm. And then the Union soldiers retreated to the river, and a boat was supposed to pick them up, but it didn't come. So the Union troops surrendered once they realized they were trapped at the river and pushed up against the water. And you know what this motherfucker did?
What?
He killed them. Dude. He murdered them. They like all called a truce. They surrendered. Yeah,
they fucking surrendered.
And then he killed them. That's a war crime. Yeah. Yeah.
He
murdered these, like, defenseless people. So after these...
At best, yeah. Because what happened next was he tortured people. Mm. Which, again, not the rules of war.
Nope. No. They didn't give a shit in the Civil War. There was no rules. It was just... It was bad.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they were, like... Okay, they were, like, back shooting soldiers who, like, fled to the river. They were shooting wounded soldiers, which they were already wounded. Ugh. They were burning men alive. They were nailing men to barrels and igniting them. They were crucifying them.
Jesus Christ.
And they were, like, hacking men to death with sabers.
This is awful. Awful stuff.
It's so bad. And then it's the – so, like, this is going on. And the Southern papers – reported, like, via the rebels and, like, all the intel they were getting from the Confederate Army, that the Union flag had still been flying over the fort when they, like, lost control of the fort, which indicated that the force had not formally surrendered. Like, they were like, well, the Union flag was technically still up, so, like, did they surrender? But it's like they weren't even there. They were like forced down to the river. So like how are they supposed to remove their dumb, stupid flag? And then also statements from Union survivors as well as the letter of a Confederate soldier were like, no, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I was there and this shit was brutal.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, just – really quick reminder that the Civil War had more casualties than any other war we've ever had in the history of our country put together.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God. I just, like, pause real quick, take a breath, quick question. Mm-hmm. Does this seem like a man who should have a statue?
Absolutely fucking not.
Also, can I remind everyone he wasn't even fighting for the winning side?
That's the fucking dumbest thing about these statues. It's like,
losers.
They're losers. They fucking lost. Stood for a very terrible ideology and tried to veil it in economics. And then they lost that fucking war. And now, all these fucking racist assholes in the Jim Crow era put up statues of them. Not even like they weren't put up hundreds of years ago, 100 years ago, whatever. They were put up in the time where our parents were still alive, or were just alive, when our grandparents were alive. You know, come on. Yeah. Fuck off.
As like little dog whistles and shit, right?
Yeah, just to like terrorize black people, like symbolically.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, Achilles Clark, cool name.
Yeah, that is a cool name.
Who, he was a soldier with the 20th Tennessee Cavalry, wrote immediately after this battle, and basically like painted a picture of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "The slaughter was awful. Words cannot describe the scene. The poor, deluded black men," he used a different word, "would run up to our men, fall upon their knees, and with uplifted hands scream for mercy, but they were ordered to their feet and then shot down.
Jesus.
The white men fared but little better. Their fort turned out to be a great slaughter pen. Blood, human blood, stood about in pools, and brains could have been gathered up in any quantity."
Ew. Jesus.
Like, that's how fucking psycho.
This is
Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Gross.
He was being he was like terrorizing a serial killer. These people.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was serially killing these people.
Yeah. What an insane person.
Yeah.
I guess there was over like about 220 surviving soldiers, all white, and the black soldiers were, quote, non-existent.
Black soldiers did not survive this battle.
Yeah. And because of these events, the Northern public viewed Forrest as a war criminal, which is 100% accurate.
Accurate.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He would continue to raid cities in the South and engage in battles with the North until the war came to an end.
Yeah, that the Fort Pillow massacre happened like in the middle. It wasn't even – it's just like what he's most famous for, because I think of how –
like, yeah, that was like a
egregious
huge.
Egregious it was. Yeah,
it was horrendous and pretty fucking gnarly. And he was, but he continually did heinous shit for the remainder of his army career.
And like we said earlier, was lauded as like a really great strategist and a hero and for the South and all this shit.
He really was just a psycho killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once the war ended and slavery was abolished, his business obviously was done. He couldn't be a slave trader anymore.
What did he do then for a job? Blacksmith?
No. He joined the KKK.
Oh.
Duh. And this was like when the KKK was like brand new.
Oh, yeah.
He helped start it. I didn't know this, but I mean, it makes perfect sense. The Ku Klux Klan was started by 6 former Confederate soldiers, and they needed some like structure and guidance. So General Forrest was the guy that they hired. He was like, they were like, "We need a CEO for this bitch. We're starting this like we have this like new startup. It's like we don't know what to really call it. KKK for short.
Is that good branding? Only if that's good branding." He was like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I guess he was the first Grand Wizard of the KKK. And that's like the highest. It's CEO of the KKK.
That is CEO. Yeah. General. It's commanding officer of the entire Klan. And what's wild is, and I learned this today, so the term Grand Wizard is actually based on his real life nickname in the war, because they would call him the Wizard of the Saddle. So like the Ku Klux Klan has a Grand Wizard was like the first person in charge.
Interesting. So that like terminology came from his nickname in the army. Interesting.
Also, like, fuck the KKK in general, but how dare they ruin wizards?
Yeah, it's fucking rude. Ugh.
How dare.
To say the least.
Yeah.
So I guess at first the goal of the KKK was to talk black people into going back to the way things were before the war. Like they were like, "Don't you want to like be slaves again? Remember how great that was?"
And
like, all the free black people were like, "What?
No, thank you." Yeah, they were like, "No, I don't want to. No, that sounds bad.
How the fuck? Oh my God. This yeah. is like how fucking deluded white people are and were.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't work.
No, it did not work. They couldn't sell that one. No. And then they changed the strategy and instead just were like, we're going to just like roll around the fucking countryside and do these midnight parades, these ghost masquerades, and we're going to terrorize black people. We're going to if we find any black people, we're going to whip and kill them. Mm-hmm. And any white people who try to stand in our way, like actually white Republicans who at the time were the Progressive Party. So anybody who says that racism isn't political is an idiot because it's always political.
Yeah. Also, yeah, the reason they were doing all of this was to scare off the black vote and deter people from running for office. Like they didn't want people running. One, they didn't want black people running for office, but two, they didn't want even white people that supported black people as free people running for office. They were just really, really trying to protect their way of life.
That's right.
And this like this wasn't just like a fringy thing.
Yeah, like when the KKK started, they immediately had a ton of followers.
Yeah, because there was a whole Confederate army that was like, fuck, what do we do now? And they were like, oh, hey, like, we have something you could get into. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, the Confederacy literally rebranded into the KKK.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. 100%, like, 100%. That is what it is.
Yep. And in Tennessee alone, there was, I think in the first year, 40,000 people, or no, not within the first year, but, like, very, very early on, they got a lot of people involved. So there was like 40,000 people alone in Tennessee and 550,000 total in the KKK heading into the 1868 presidential election.
Jesus Christ.
So that was a good amount of people.
Over half a million people were just in the KKK.
And like it was a secret thing. I mean, like, you didn't know people who were in it because their identity was protected. But, like,
you
it
just
was,
go ahead and assume that every white person in the South then was.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the 1868 presidential election, leading into it, and I found this very relevant, a lot of this just is like, oh, we're just, like, repeating history through all of these patterns still. But the KKK, leading into that election in Louisiana, killed 1,000 black men in order to suppress the vote.
God.
So, like, yeah.
And nowadays, Republicans just make voting harder by foisting shitty voting machines that don't work onto 75-year-old poll workers who've had 20 minutes of training, purging people from voter rolls if they haven't voted in a couple of years, redlining communities and therefore disenfranchising them, and also implementing arbitrary requirements to even be allowed to vote. That's what we do nowadays in 2020, the year of our Lord. See Georgia for any clarification that you may need on how we are still actively having racists do voter suppression.
Oh my God. P.S. Pause this right now and go sign up for a mail-in ballot for this next upcoming election in November. It is very important.
If you are able to do that in your state.
If you're able to. Well, you can apply at least, right? Yeah. Like, you can apply. They might not grant it to you, but.
Yeah, you have to have, like, in certain places, you have to have, like, an explicit reason for needing a mail-in ballot. But, like, here in California, you can just, that's, like, you just do it. In Oregon, that's how they do it. Like, you just get a mail-in ballot.
Just at least try and get one because there's going to be some shit.
Yeah. fucked up. So anyway, back to this fucking asshole.
Right.
I guess he publicly denied being involved in the KKK, though. And he said he allegedly left the Klan only a year after joining, which, excuse me, didn't you just say you weren't involved, but you left after a year? Which is it, sir?
Yeah, it's real sketchy. The details around this are sketchy. Also, I think everyone has to deny that they're in it, maybe. Like, I think that's, like, part of their code. It's like Fight Club or something.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't exist and you're not in it, wink, wink. But yeah, I think he was definitely involved beyond then. I think he was likely still a part of it. He just wasn't in charge. And I think it's because he disagreed with some of the tactics they were taking. He didn't think they were being productive. He didn't think they were, like, changing black people's minds to become slaves again quick enough or something. I don't know. But he was still doing fucked up, racist, KKK-type shit on the side, even if he wasn't a part of them, like offering to, and this is a quote, exterminate black men who were accused of any sorts of crimes in his direct vicinity.
Ew. Like,
yeah, in his neighborhood or city. Oh,
so he was the original cop. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Prison system. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'll deal with that.
Yep.
And I read something that said his last speech was maybe positive about black people and, like, white people getting along, but who cares because he was a monster, and I doubt that that's true.
Yeah, one, like, little cute speech talking about how he feels bad that he
can't we all just was get along?
Mean to black people, except he wasn't just mean. He actively fucking slaughtered and, you know, campaigned to make them less than human beings. So fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm. And then he died on my birthday in 1875. That's July 5th. And no one cares.
Fuck that guy.
Spit on you, sir. You're gross.
Yeah.
Let's talk about his legacy.
Ugh. Legacy, his fucking shit stain.
Yeah. And by legacy.
Can't be wiped away.
Yeah. And by legacy, we mean where he took a big old dump on this country and then fucking lit it on fire. And now we all smell it still. You know what I mean? Like, or it's like we're trying to put it out, but we didn't realize there was dog doo-doo in the bag that's on fire. Oh. And then we're like stomping it out.
For like almost 200 years.
Yeah. And then we're just tracking shit everywhere we walk because of this man.
Fuck.
This man has hella statues. He's got high schools. He's got parks, cities, counties. You name it. Forrest is a name throughout Tennessee.
If you see the name Forrest, it's for this guy.
In the South. Yeah.
In the South. But it's named after this fucker.
Mm-hmm. In Tennessee and any like neighboring states. Ugh. And even we talked a little bit about this, but in 1977, the year of our Lord, that's not that many years before we were born.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Not that old.
Mm-mm.
Tennessee established July 13th, his birthday, as this man's holiday to honor him every year.
That's like that's the decree that says that the House of Representatives has in Tennessee has to like
celebrate him every year. Also, okay, this made me so mad.
He has fucked up.
Oh my God, he has a fucking monument in Selma. Ugh. In Selma, Alabama, where the civil rights marches started. Selma to Montgomery. Ugh. He has a fucking statue.
Ugh.
It is, I think it's still there. Maybe that's the one that was taken down. I'm not sure. But anyway, there's like a whole big ass fucking like dedication on it. Like and a it reads plaque. Yeah, there's a goddamn plaque. Defender of Selma, Wizard of the Saddle, Untutored Genius.
Bitch, that's like saying you're a fucking, I don't know, like a self-published author. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Like, how do you know you're a genius, you stupid idiot?
Wait, you love that part and I love this next part. It goes, untutored genius, the first with the most.
Fuck this guy.
Oh my God. And then it says, this monument stands as testament of our perpetual devotion.
No.
And respect for Lieutenant General Nathan Bedford Forrest, CSA, 19 Confederate State Army, I guess. 1821 to 1877, one of the South's finest heroes.
Gross. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Eat shit and die.
Yeah.
I have been so angry these last 2 weeks, which I know is late to the party and like we should have been angry about all this stuff now. I mean, before. But like hearing this, I cannot believe that this shit is still just out there and people defend it.
I mean, we obviously we don't live in the South and we don't know how bad it is, but this is fucking bad.
Like, this guy was a bad man.
Yeah.
And like, and on a losing side. He was a loser and a bad man.
Oh, God.
Are they going to put statues of Trump up? Like probably.
I'll be the first to get a fucking drone and bomb it because
fuck that. I'm going to fucking menstruate for like a year into a bucket and then I'm going to go fucking... I'm going to go carry on that shit.
Yeah,
I'm
and then they'll gonna... have to then they'll have to tear it down because it's a biohazard after it's that.
I'll be like, oh, sorry. I didn't know that would happen.
This is fermented menstrual blood.
Oh, my God. Well, people have been petitioning for the removal of this dude's name and likeness in a lot of public places. And they have... removed and changed some of them. So like in 2000, a monument to this man in Selma, Alabama was unveiled. I don't know if it's the same one we talked about before, but whatever. I don't think it was the same because this one, this monument is like a bust.
Oh.
And the one I think that's in Selma, that's the big one with like the plaque on it is him on a horse.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the one in 2000, it was a bust. On March 10th, 2012, it was vandalized and the bronze bust of the general disappeared. Yeah. And then in August, a historical society called Friends of Forest moved forward with plans for a new, larger monument, which was to be 12 feet high, illuminated by LED lights, surrounded by a wrought iron fence, and protected by 24-hour security cameras.
Oh, my God.
And luckily, I guess, triggered outrage, and a group of around 20 protesters attempted to block construction of the new monument by lying in the path of the concrete truck. I think it's still...
It still went forward?
I think it still went forward. Actually, I'm not exactly sure. They made an online petition and, like, collected signatures and stuff. So maybe it didn't. And then also in Memphis, there was a park called Forest Park, and they renamed it in 2015 Health and Sciences Park, which that's not a good name, but whatever. Mm. It's better than Forest Park.
Mm-hmm.
And then his monuments and that and statue in that park was removed in 2017. Good. So
bye.
So they're doing some stuff, but as we started this episode with, there is still that heinous statue.
Oh yeah. So
Lest we forget
where we started from, there is a hideous statue of – so all the other statues, busts, whatever we've talked about, look totally normal. Like this was like a decent-looking man, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
I hate giving him even any kind of ground, but yeah. I mean –
it was his one tolerable trait.
Well, I think honestly, I honestly think that's probably why he got away with a lot of fucking shit that he did. He was like, I think, really charismatic and shit, but he was also like a fucking American Psycho, like the original American Psycho.
Yeah, Patrick Bateman.
Is that his
character's name?
Yeah. So
obviously, Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd get away with a lot if you look like that guy.
Yeah. So a bunch of people have actually doubled down on the Nathan Bedford Forrest propaganda, like this one guy, Jack Kershaw. So this is the guy, Jack Kershaw is the man who made the really hideous statue. The one that looks like a, 6-year-old made a drawing of a Confederate soldier on a horse and then they made it into a statue. So this guy,
I think it looks like someone who's just saw someone shart on their couch.
Oh, yeah. On their white couch.
On their white couch, but, like, angrier.
I think it looks like if a what? If a ventriloquist dummy, like, came alive and you stuck your hand up its asshole and, yeah, like, that's the face
and
that
it became
makes,
sentient.
And it,
goes,
and it became, yeah, yeah, sentient and it went, ah!
I think, oh, it looks, God, his, I think it looks, his face looks more like a horse than it does a man's face. Like the mouth, it's like a
it's like the Tin Man face, but like with a nose stuck on it, and then it has these eyes. Okay, we're gonna talk about it. Hold on,
oh, yeah,
let's,
yeah,
let's,
yeah,
get,
yeah,
into,
yeah,
it.
Okay,
so,
okay,
so this guy Jack Kershaw is the man who made this statue. It's 25 feet tall.
Yeah.
The man on the forest figure, the Nathan, yeah, Bedford Forest, is in silver leaf, and then the horse,
oh, okay,
he's on is gold leaf.
Okay.
So he's brandishing a sword and a gun, and that is, you know, he's just strapped to the fucking teeth because,
oh,
he's,
yeah,
a psycho.
Fucking need we remind you, Fort Pillow.
Fort Pillow.
Fort Pillow.
He slaughtered lots of people.
Yeah.
So his eyes are these, like, light blue crystals, and they are terrifying.
Oh, my God.
It's
they're
so,
like the White Walkers.
Yeah, dude. It's, but it's like not a human face, you know?
Right. It's
like,
not human eyes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It, like the whole face is like too smooth or something. It's so weird.
Do I look like him right now?
Yeah, kind of. yeah. And his mouth is open in a really weird way. And it's like, it's
dark.
Not,
there's no it, tongue or anything. It's just like a black hole.
Yeah. It looks like a mail slot. Like,
yeah,
for real. Like, it looks like you could put just mail right in the,
yeah,
the mail slot. It's totally out of proportion.
It's kind of medieval almost. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's like the face. Like, they didn't know how to draw faces yet.
Yeah. Like, you know how in medieval paintings, how they're always like trying to draw cats, but they never get the face right? That's what it looks like. Like, they make the cat look like a human cat, like how the movie Cats looks now.
Yeah. But with a darker mouth.
Yeah, but with
and I don't think he has teeth, or maybe it's
no,
too much,
like,
teeth.
The teeth are too much. It's like a,
yeah,
it's like
that's
a,
why
it's like,
I think he looks like a horse. Yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's bad. It's real bad.
It's bad.
So the proportions are totally wrong. Like everything is very childlike almost.
Yeah.
Like it looks like it's made out of Play-Doh, and then it has some like gold spray paint and silver spray paint slapped on it.
But why is the face the only, like his, like the horse looks fine, the body looks fine. It's literally the face that's like the most upsetting part.
I don't think any of it looks fine. Like, I think it all looks bad. I think like the horse looks bad. Like, everything
Fair.
Looks bad.
Okay.
And so this guy who made the statue, Jack Kershaw, fun fact, was the co-founder of the League of the South, which is a white nationalist organization.
Oh, my God. You mean Ku Klux Klan light?
Oh, yeah. It's just – it is literally like they just don't put robes on. Maybe they're
yeah. –
it's like if you're – there's a huge Venn diagram. If you're in that group, you're also in the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
Like you're, it's like you like to go bowling and then play darts on the side too. You know, like you like doing all the bar activities.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he also, like we mentioned, I think early on in the episode, he was a former lawyer to James Earl Ray, the man who assassinated Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
And in the face of some public criticism for the installation, Kershaw defended the statue by saying, quote, "Somebody needs to say a good word for slavery." Fuck you, dude. Like,
oh
no,
God.
That is not nobody.
Nobody
needs,
does.
There's
nobody.
No, there's literally no good words for slavery that
no.
exist. So you don't need to say them. And go fuck yourself, you fucking piece of shit.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
I'm going to dump my period blood on him, too.
Yeah, well, so this statue was installed in 1998, so not that long ago,
yeah.
surrounded by 13 Confederate battle flags. If you ever needed to have any more reason to hate a Confederate flag, There's 13 more reasons.
Oh my God.
And 13 flagpoles also flying various other Confederate or state flags on 3.5 acres of land, which is privately owned by a Nashville businessman named Bill Doris. And just FYI, Bill Doris is also an absolute piece of shit.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed.
Oh, isn't that crazy? Like the person who decided, who agreed to have this garbage ass fucking statue on their land is also a piece of shit. So Bill Doris, the guy who has the statue on his land, he has regularly given media interviews defending his right to display the forest statue and his flags. He denies being a racist, which is something that like racist people do vehemently.
Yeah. As seen earlier today in our reunion Facebook group.
That's right. This is an insane thing to say, but he calls slavery a form of, quote, social security for African Americans.
Oh, fuck that, dude.
Dude, it's so bad. He went on, he like was interviewed by Canada's National Post paper, and he told this interviewer that the people against the Confederate monuments in New Orleans are, quote, Cane Blacks. Which what? I don't even know what that means. Who are probably, quote, illegals to start with.
Jesus.
So this man is just constantly spewing fucking trash. He also said slavery, quote, slavery was never an issue. Nathan Bedford Forrest was not a racist. And
oh my God.
He again called slavery a form of social security for African Americans and a, quote, cradle to the grave proposition.
Oh, what?
It is like it hurts my brain and my heart that people actually exist in this world that think these thoughts, who have these ideals, who think this is an okay way to live and think. It's
insane. This is like the thing. How do you talk to someone like this that actually resonates? It's like
you can't.
You can't. You just have to, like, set them on fire and walk away. Like, it's like, you know, it's like, I don't understand. Because it's like, slavery, he said slavery was never an issue. Like, what?
What does that mean? Like,
yeah,
sir.
What does that mean? Like, it didn't exist or it wasn't a problem? Maybe that's what he means. I don't know. It's
like
too
it
much.
Was never an issue for you, a white person who didn't even live during that time.
Yeah.
And also definitely wasn't an issue for the white people who were owning slaves who fucking made money off of it. Like,
yeah.
Fucking this forest, Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Oh my God. He made so much money.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's so bad. At any rate, this racist ass fucking wannabe sculptor is dead. Jack Kershaw died at the age of 96, unfortunately. He lived that long. On September 7th, 2010 in Nashville, he left no other immediate survivors, thank God. And in a post following his death to the Hate Watch website of the Southern Poverty Law Center, Kershaw was called, quote, one of the most iconic American white segregationalists of the 20th century. Wow.
Wow.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Oh, my God. Also, is that statue on church grounds or is it just like in the middle of like two churches next to each other? Because I saw it on a map.
I don't know. I think it's on private property. And I also – there is the other statue that is in Memphis in Tennessee – the one that like looks like it's not a good one. I shouldn't
right,
even
it's,
say
it's
that.
Not it's ugly not ugly like this. Other
hideously
one.
It's deformed
not
like
bad
this
art.
One.
Yeah, yeah. It's not bad because of what it stands for, but it's not ugly.
Yeah, it like looks like a normal statue. This one is just like so insanely bad. It can't even be called art because it's heinous. It's so bad. Like, please Google this fucking statue.
Oh my God.
It's wild.
Last fun fact, the boyhood home that Nathan Bedford Forrest grew up in is preserved and I think is like a
museum.
Yeah, not if it's not a museum, it's like preserved and you can't like you can't do anything to it because it like means something. I'm using air quotes to this country. Yeah. Awful. So, yeah. It's, anyway, that guy's a total piece of shit. I'm so glad I learned so much more about him because now I have an informed opinion.
Yep.
About him. And I was never one that cared for Confederate statues and was always behind taking them down. I don't think we need them. None of the people are alive today that even give a fuck. So it's wild to me.
I just had no idea that so many existed. And,
me either, yeah.
And like, why so many of one person especially that was so fucking insane and awful. It's truly like, I think this was like in the notes at some point, in regards to the statue that was being put up in Selma, a local lawyer and radio host, Rose Sanders said that, quote, glorifying Nathan B. Forrest here is like glorifying a Nazi in Germany. Mm-hmm. For Selma, of all places, to have a big monument to a Klansman is totally unacceptable.
Oh my God. 100%.
And that is right. That's yeah. the whole crux of it right there. It's just really sums up the whole thing. It's heinous, and they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Tear down those monuments. Mm-hmm. Tear down white supremacy.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck racist assholes. We got lots of reading, lots of things to watch, lots of places to visit.
Lots of people to talk to. Lots of protests to attend.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a time. Listen, if you think this is, like, too political, whatever, I'm sorry. It's not going to stop.
Yeah. Oh, it's not. I have a fucking mission now.
Yeah.
It is.
We're going to be out here like talking about buttholes still, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have some jokes in here.
Yeah. We're just going to like make fun of racist assholes like for forever.
We have to too. Honestly, it's toxic and it's affecting me. I got to talk about it.
Yeah. I got to spew some of this fucking
hate.
That I, well, not, you know, like just frustration that I incur on a daily basis trying to process through some of these stupid assholes that exist.
Reasoning with dingbats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to dump period blood on them too. And that's a fucking threat, bitch. Yeah. At the reunion, all right? I'm going to carry our reunion with my period blood.
I was wild at our tenure and
were you?
Oh yeah, I took my clothes off and jumped in the pool.
Oh my God, you wild.
Well, what do you want? It was fun.
Yeah.
All right. Let's stop talking about fucking Confederate statues.
Ugh. Yeah. I need more gin and tonic.
You fuckers lost. Get over it.
Yeah, you're losers and no one cares about you.
God, right. But it feels good. It feels so good.
Oh my God. Follow us on social media. We're not really posting there right now. You can follow our personal social medias. I'm posting a lot.
Yeah. I'm Erin DB Saul.
Yeah. I'm N Mackie, I think, on Instagram. That's mostly where I'm focusing my attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, we have that Facebook group. It's actually really fun still. People are still, you know, posting a little bit about this stuff, being respectful, but we're still posting other things.
Yeah, like lots of weird Wish products still, like screenshots of Wish products pop up all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's still butthole talk. There's all kind, you know, whatever, poops.
Look, I'm going to make a promise.
Dildos.
There's dildos. There's a dildo with a bird on it. It's pretty fun.
Cute. It's pretty cute.
But listen, I want to make you and everyone a promise.
Okay.
As long as I have a butthole, I'll be talking about it.
All right. What if you wake up tomorrow and your butthole sealed shut?
I'll stop talking about it. But then we'll talk about yours.
Okay, cool. All right. I'm the backup butthole.
Yeah. You're my backup butthole. You know what? That's how we're best friends.
We got your back.
Yeah. I've got your backhole.
All right. Thanks for listening, you guys. Shit, man. It's time to stop.
We gotta cut it off. No, we're gonna go longer, but just not record it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We got to check in on the Facebook group.
Yep.
All right. We love you guys.
Oh, thanks for listening. You know what? Be excellent to yourselves.
And each other.
But not to Confederate monuments.
Nope.
Bye.
Bye.